Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio Food Bank has become a critical lifeline for so many in our community with the fallout, the economic fallout from COVID-19. Now the food bank is running low on volunteers and the nonprofit might have to halt distribution this week as fatigue and fear of the virus is taking its toll. We're joined by Eric Cooper, the president and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank. Eric Cooper, welcome back.
David, thank you for having me on.
Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you have a question or comment for Eric Cooper about the San Antonio Food Bank, if you've gone out and gotten some food, if you want to volunteer, whatever you want to tell him, the lines are open, 833-TPR-TALK. So Eric Cooper, tell me about what's going on with the volunteers.
Well, I tell you, David, since the onset of the crisis, we moved from feeding about 60,000 people a week to the 120,000 people a week that has been consistent since the crisis began. And our city stepped up. I mean, lots of folks volunteering, serving, giving, whether food or funds. But as July has hit, some of that summer fatigue, maybe the heat, the spike in the number of cases, we're not sure exactly what the drop is, but we started Monday with the need for 400 volunteers at our distribution sites, and we only had 100 signed up. Now, folks are starting to hear the call, but we've got all the way through the summer these distributions will be happening, and we're really desperate for volunteers.
There are organizations that, you know, during the before times were able to get together and let's go to the food bank and they'll make a day of it, or USAA or Valero, they'll have their employees do things. Schools would have a number of hours that are required for students to put in volunteering. And this seems like that's kind of gone away, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, great corporations that you mentioned, USAA, Valero, HEB, they're all giving. They're giving financially, and they're giving in big ways, but it's corporate policies that are now prohibiting folks from gathering, and they're not sponsoring those volunteer activities, and it's understandable, but yet the food still needs to be distributed. And so we really leaned on individuals, and that's where companies have said, hey, you know, as an individual, our employees can go and serve, and we want volunteers to know, look, you guys are our superheroes. When you're on the front lines, there is some level of risk, but pre-screening before you come and volunteer, making sure that you don't have any symptoms and that you're healthy. When you do show up, you need to be aware you will be temperature checked, and if you temp hot, we can't have you in our facility or out at the distribution sites. You want to wear a mask, right, and gloves. We practice good sanitation and the best physical distancing that we can. Now, depending on the operations that we're doing at that moment, folks are handing off boxes, that kind of stuff. But, you know, we've been incredibly fortunate not to have a volunteer that we're aware of contract COVID. But I tell you, it's just, it's been a challenge. Food brings people together. And, you know, our families are being served through these pop-up distributions where they're driving through, they're staying in their cars, they're just popping their trunks. And so we can really keep folks safe and just do the best we can to make sure that families get nourished.
So, when I volunteered at the food bank, you would go to your facility and stand on like an assembly line and the box rolls in front of you and you put in cans or whatever, and you go through a big bin of cans and you look for ones that can't be used. And, you know, there's a lot of sorting and stuff to be done. Is that kind of volunteering work still needed?
It still is, yeah, David. So you know our space, and we have four big projects that volunteers are working on. Number one is our farm and garden. Now, it's warm out there. We warn them. So, but
wear a hat.
That's here at the warehouse. and at Mission San Juan. So about 75 acres total. We've got a lot of melons coming in off the field. So if you'd like to get outdoors, it's a super safe, physically distant volunteer experience. All ages are welcome, all abilities. You'll learn a little bit about gardening while you're here working in the farm. We also have a need for volunteers in our kitchens, helping to prepare meals. It's the main kitchen here at the warehouse that is the high production kitchen. Then in the warehouse, as you mentioned, helping us pack boxes and sort food. And then it's out at the distribution sites. And that's really, I think, what's become iconic in this crisis across the state and nation. I mean, all food banks are seeing unprecedented demand. And many of our traditional food pantries for us here, about 20% of them, have closed. And they've moved to curbside pickup opportunities, but still not keeping up with the demand. And so these pop-ups have been a way for us to add some additional food for those families. And roughly 2,000 people will come to one of the distributions. And it just takes a lot of volunteers to make sure they're nourished. It is only a few hours. I'd say plan on about a four-hour shift. Usually we get you out a little quicker than that. Families are usually fed in that two-hour window, but in that shift. So it's quite convenient and gets you outdoors. I think volunteers are loving the experience once they've done it. I think it's just some of the fatigue that set in why we've seen this drop.
If you got cabin fever, you want to get out of the house, this is something that you can do, and you will be safe. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Ann has called in. And Ann, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Hi, Ann.
I just want to say I have volunteered probably in 9 mobiles. I've volunteered in the warehouse, and I've done a Saturday, they call it Fresh Saturday, and I always feel very safe there. We have gloves, everyone wears a mask, and you really don't have that much contact with the people in the cars. If you have a buddy to work with, you are close to them, but you're outside. And I never felt unsafe. I am in the medical profession, and it is very rewarding. And the people that get the food are so thankful. And it makes you feel very good when you leave. So I would highly recommend volunteering.
And
that's all I wanted to say.
Well, I'm glad you called in, Ann. Thank you so much. Eric Cooper, any response?
Well, Ann, thank you. And Ann is not alone. There's a lot of individual volunteers that have been coming since March, and they won't miss a distribution. They're out there on the front lines. And I tell you, they really are superheroes. I mean, they're working on the front lines of this crisis and obviously in healthcare and here at the food bank. I always say for these superheroes, capes are optional, but masks are required. So oftentimes volunteers, I think, take away more than those that they came to serve. There's an incredible feeling of service, and I think no greater demonstration of love. So thanks, Ann, and thanks to all of our volunteers that have been, you know, serving.
Let's go to another caller. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR, TPR-TALK. Call in, tell us about your experience volunteering with the food bank, or if you've received from the food bank, how that is working out for you. Hudson is on the line. Hudson, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
All right. Go ahead.
I had a question. Since HEB, USAA, and other large companies in San Antonio are unable to provide resources right now to help with the volunteering, how are and how can the SAPD help?
Well, I tell you, SAPD has been an incredible partner year-round for us at the food bank. But specifically with traffic control, they've been amazing and really helping us coordinate to make sure that these long lines are coordinated and staged in a way that we can serve them quickly and efficiently. always there's an opportunity for anyone that has some time. You just go to our website at safoodbank.org. You'll want to register real quick, and then you see all of the vacancies. So you'll see those shifts in the warehouse or the kitchen, farm, or these distribution sites. You pick it, and you're scheduled. You'll get a follow-up message just to confirm, and you're good to go. And like I said, you know, all abilities welcome here at the warehouse, all ages welcome, and in a short amount of time, you can help a lot of people and help us distribute a lot of food.
Should you bring your own work gloves and things?
You sure can, yeah. I mean, I think please bring your own mask, bring your own gloves, all of that stuff. We do have some supplies for volunteers if those are missing. Come prepared to do some work.
Bring your own elbow grease.
Exactly. A little stretching before. It's a replacement for CrossFit. You know, you will get a workout when you come to the food bank, but you don't need that to discourage you, because there are others that can lift around you. It's not
right. Let me get a Jenny's got a ton of time. Jenny, let me get Jenny on here. Jenny, go ahead.
Yeah, I think he was actually just getting to my question. My question was, I have back issues and I want to come and help him, but I've got to make sure that there's not some serious heavy lifting involved.
All right. Thank you, Jenny. And Eric?
No, absolutely. So a lot of times we're distributing a lot of fresh items. And so, Jenny, you might move from the bag of carrot line down to the bread. So there's always something that's appropriate for the appropriate skill and ability. And it's just a matter of saying, hey, could I do this? And it'll make a difference.
Eric Cooper is with us, the president and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank. We're talking about the need for volunteers, what volunteers can do to help keep San Antonio, our community, fed in this time of crisis. We're going to continue talking about that. Also, I want to ask him about created dates and about that issue. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're joined by Eric Cooper, President and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank. Now, Eric, if you can help me, this has been a real head-scratcher for me about this create-a-date contract. They got this multi-million dollar USDA feeding the poor contract, and then they couldn't actually fulfill a contract, and they had no experience. They weren't even licensed to do this work, and yet this has kind of not worked out. I mean, what can you tell us?
Well, I tell you, the program from its inception from USDA was really designed to try to rescue dairy protein and produce that was in surplus in the supply chain because of the closure of restaurants and hotels and caterers. And the theory was to try to purchase that product and then provide some revenue for those food service companies that sell into that supply chain to keep them afloat, and then pivot that food to food banks across America with these unprecedented lines.
That sounds great.
Yeah. As the economy opens up, then you kind of pivot from the food banks back into the restaurants, and it has been working. I think in the Southwest region, the challenge was this awardee, came to the table with really little experience in supply chain management and food service, and I think shocked a lot of people that they got such a large award. It was actually the largest award in the Southwest region. We'll work with anyone if it'll generate food for families in need. And so we hung in there with them and really tried to work to develop a plan that could get food to all food banks throughout the Southwest region. It's a distribution coordination. So when you're procuring this food, you want to make sure that it gets to the families. It's got to be the right food in the right amount at the right time. And for us, we just got shorted. We planned distributions and then had to reschedule and find others to provide food. But I really am proud of the local journalism and reporting, because it brought it to the people's attention. And some of the other contractors in Oklahoma and Louisiana then started to pivot some of their support our way. And now as we're in the second round of this program, we're really starting to see the volume that we were anticipating the program would develop for us, when the awards were first given.
So create a date. They use these eights in their spelling of the name as sort of gimmicky kind of way to do that. And they were an event planning organization. They had no experience in doing food bank work. They received this $39 million contract to deliver these boxes of food. And they didn't actually. So do they have to give the money back? Do they keep the money? Where does that $39 million go?
Yeah, so the relationship is really between USDA and the awardees, like Create a Date, and it was based on a reimbursement. So they were awarded that $39 million contract. It was for about 750,000 boxes of food, and that would have been about 469 semi truckloads of food. Now, that's for the entire Southwest region. We were hoping to receive about 57 truckloads here in San Antonio. And at the end of the contract period, we received about 22.5, which, is more food than we had. And so I think we're grateful, but it was the remaining truckloads that we missed out on. And I think they're inability to fulfill the contract to its full extent, left a lot of food banks in the Southwest region short. The good news is now that there's some new contractors on board and there's others that are aware of the gaps that were left by Create a Date, they're stepping in to fill those gaps.
So will Create a Date walk away with tens of millions of dollars?
I think at the end of the day, they probably will. Yeah. I think the lesson learned is, why accept a contract that you...
Well, because then you get tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I guess. But when you put families at risk, the program was designed to help feed families. And, there was a lot of distributions across the Southwest region that didn't occur because there was no food from the contract.
Should there be some sort of follow-up investigation to find out if this is the appropriate way to spend taxpayer dollars that was earmarked for feeding the poor?
I absolutely think there needs to be some transparency and some accountability. Food banks operate that way. I think, federal contractors should do the same. And I think the general public deserves that and needs to know what the price points are and where the profit margin is. And I think this was a program that was about sustaining the market. So it wasn't just about, feeding the hungry, but it would help the farmer, it would help those businesses. In the end, I think all three lost because the contractor couldn't fulfill the entirety of the contract.
All right, let's pivot back to what's really important here, which is helping you get food into the hands of the people, the tables, kitchen tables of people here who really need it right now. So Eric Cooper, let's go to some calls. We got Michael on the line. And Michael, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you for having me. My question is really fairly simple, and it relates to those who really don't have a vehicle and simply don't have the means to go and wait in the lines at the distribution points. And so I'm wondering what the food bank is doing to address the food needs of those who do not have a vehicle or access to it, because it seems to me that the majority of the efforts are geared to those that do.
All right, Michael, yeah. Thank you for your call.
Just a great question, Michael, and to listeners, I didn't plant Michael, but it was a perfect segue to remind me that absolutely, for families or individuals, specifically seniors and people with disabilities that can't make it out, you're going to want to call our hotline at 210-431-8326. That's the number families call if they're in need of food, or they can visit our website at safoodbank.org and hit the Get Help button. When they make that request and fill out that registration, it will ask if they are able to get out to a distribution. If they are not, then we are delivering that to their homes. And literally thousands of food boxes are delivered to homebound households. That's another big need for volunteers. Our volunteers typically sign up for 5 deliveries. They'll come here to the main warehouse, pick up that those 5 packages, and then they'll have maps for them and addresses, and then you go and deliver that. A big partner in this has been Via Trans. Via has every day come to the food bank with some of their vehicles. We load up about 50 of those homebound boxes, and they help with some of those deliveries. Thank you for reminding me to talk about that need.
We have an email from Baruch. He writes, when I go to the food bank website, look to the volunteer page, it seems like all the positions are now full. Am I looking at the wrong place?
So they are starting to fill up, thanks to you, David, and others kind of getting the word out for us. You might want to look later in the week or next week as the shifts fill, but there still is capacity today in different activities. The distributions has been a really desired volunteer shift, and so some of those are coming in, but kitchen, warehouse, garden, there should still be some capacity there.
All right, let me go to another caller, Kayla. Kayla, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. I recall Mr. Cooper saying that you could volunteer in different positions at the food bank, and I was just wondering if those can kind of be interchangeable depending on what the volunteer needs. So, for instance, if they happen to be initially volunteering in, like, the garden area or something like that, if they needed to or wanted to go into the food distribution or the kitchens or something like that, if that's fine to do, or if you're kind of rigid in that and you kind of have to stay where you originally were volunteering, if that makes sense.
All right, Kayla, thank you for the call. How much flexibility is there?
Great question, Kayla. It's very flexible. I think we try to really design the experience to that 3 to 4 hour work shift. And so you might sign up one day to do a distribution, and the next day you want to do the garden, and then the next day you'd like to do the kitchen. So it's very a la carte, and you'll see that when you go to safoodbank.org and register. You'll see those shifts and time slots. So you pick the day and the time and the activity, and whatever you enjoy doing, that's what we want to help you keep doing.
So the call went out a few days ago saying the food bank was running low on volunteers. You might have to halt some distribution this week. So is that happening? Is everything okay now, or are you going to have to slow down distribution?
So we've got a real big distribution on Friday that we were super anxious about. We had one yesterday, and those were where we were panicked. And we were able to get yesterday's done. We had some additional staff that we brought out from the food bank to make sure we got it covered. But Friday is looking good. As the word has gotten out, our city's so amazing. They respond once they know and understand the need. And so it is filling up, but it's...
Okay, I guess we lost Eric Cooper. And Eric, are you there? All right. Well, Eric Cooper, he is the president and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank. He got an update from him telling us that volunteers are signing up on their website to the food distribution. You can go to the warehouse to do food sorting and boxing, build up the boxes. You can work in their farm area as well. This is something that's an ongoing need that we have in San Antonio. I want to thank Eric Cooper for joining us for this half hour. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.